Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Yay, that worked. All right, cool.
Yap at you.
Okay. All right. Syriana.
Uh-huh.
You received background stuff I'm not going to get into, but we were discussing on the side. I want you to make an Arcana check. You had advantage on this Arcana check.
Oh, sure. I mean, roll for me.
What is your...
I'll tell you right
now. Roll the 19.
Oh, shit.
Roll the 19.
What the fuck?
This is the second time I've rolled for you, and it has been very good. So, all right.
Okay, Arcana is plus 2, so I have 21, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But you rolled a 19. You did have advantage, so it did roll 2 dice, but your average was an 18 on that roll, so...
Anyway. Oh, well,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so the person who sent you a message, they most likely found out that you are alive because of scrying. You think that you, some reason, when you were inside of the Silver Keep, you never got the feeling about someone scrying you. And now that you basically showed up outside of the Silver Keep, you were able to be scryed upon. If you want to remain hidden, that is probably something you need to deal with right now. That is probably something that you're going to have to figure out how to stop.
Wait, hold on. Wait, what was the verb that you used? Getting
scrying. S-C-R-Y. Scry.
What is that?
I will show you. Scrying.
We just dealt with this in the EI game.
Ancient magic.
It is a magic thing. That's why you rolled like Kata. Here you go. There is a link to the 5th edition compendium, and that'll tell you what scrying is. Basically, scrying is a way for someone to spy. It's basically, you can think of it as spying magically. So they basically will set up like, I know this person. I want to see what this person is doing. It could be like a crystal ball, could be a mirror, could be something like that, and they physically are looking at you.
Oh.
Smile.
You can see or hear a particular creature that is on the same plane of existence. The target must make a wisdom saving throw, which is modified by how well you know the target and the sort of physical connection you have to it. And if a target knows you're casting this spell, it can fail the saving throw voluntarily if it wants to be observed.
No. You did not make a saving throw, so this is one other piece of information. You did not make a saving throw when the specific person scryed you. Mm-hmm. There is a reason for that.
Which is that I thought I wanted to.
No! They weren't scrying you. They were scrying your amulet.
My amulet? I mean, which is pretty much the same thing.
That's true. That's pretty much the same thing.
In practical terms, it's the same thing.
Well, it gives them the same result, but they weren't observing you.
Yeah.
But that's why they sent you the message. Just so you're aware.
So what you're telling me is that I felt like I was being like someone, that the person that talked to me was crying.
You know that the way the person was able, the reason the person got in touch with you is because they realized something was going on with their amulet. Or, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Something was going on with their amulet, and so they basically cast a scry spell, and that's basically how they're observing with you. You also realize that basically the fact is, the entire time you're in the Silver Keep, something had stopped this, because you never had this feeling before. And so paranoia is setting in that if someone else was to start to look for you, they probably could find you right now.
Oh my god. Oh, geez. Yeah. That explains the amulet. Oh, being warm. Okay. Now my paranoia is kicking in.
Yep.
Good.
I am actually kind of questioning my decisions because I did send a message back to the person. I trust this person, but I guess I don't know if the message could be intercepted, right?
You don't know if the message could be intercepted. You do know for a fact it came from that person. That is not that someone else can't, like, pretend like they're sending it from that person. Okay, that message came from that person. So you don't have to be paranoid about that specifically. But what I'm getting at is you're now able to be observed magically, and that is probably something you're gonna need to deal with.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Can I roll for history and think of any other situations or magical artifacts that I might know of or heard of, read of, that maybe could be connected to this? Like, maybe I heard of something similar?
So if you make an arcana check, because this is magic spells. If you make an arcana check, then you can get more information about what could be potentially used to scry upon someone.
Yes.
Or you could make a check to see how someone could, like, avoid being scryed on, or, like, make it harder to be scryed on, or stuff like that. Like, which way do you want to go with this? I would let you make a history check in that case, or an investigation check, one of those. In if you want to know, what does certain people that I don't want to scry on me have access to? Those are different ways you could phrase this question. Okay. Just need to know which way you're coming from.
I am going to, first of all, roll again for Arcana to see in what ways it could be avoided and what possible modicums people could have to subscribe.
Okay, so what is your bonus to?
+2 Arcana.
Okay, so that's a 14. Okay, so basically the familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak words.
Yeah.
With you increases their likelihood of detecting you. Doing basic shit, cutting your hair, dyeing your hair, changing, like putting makeup on, stuff like that, will make it harder for someone to scry upon you. Now, there are things that they could have access to that will make it easier for them, such as if they collected, like, a lock of your hair, that gives them a huge advantage to that type of role. But just changing your look so that they have less of a clear picture of you will make this harder for them to do.
Oh, like reducing, I can see it in the spell, reducing, like, my likeness to what their memory.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. If you reduce any sort of familiar, if you basically make yourself not look like the way you used to look like, that will actually make it harder for them. Additionally, if you get rid of things that they know that you had, that will also. Now, fortunately for you, likely, the clothes that you had when you were abducted are probably not the same clothes you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I know of outside of that I think that you currently have on you would be your amulets, which I don't think you're willing to give up your amulet, and B, no. I'm going to say the fact that it came from someone else very specific who has a similar paranoid background as you, I would say that he can spy on that, no one else can spy on that. So I'm going to say, like, the amulet is connected to him and him alone. So because of his background, and we can discuss that outside of these people. But again, the way you look is probably the next thing you need to sort of tackle. Make yourself look, that will be, like, the easiest thing you can do. Now, if you want to go up on the list of things that you can do, there are spells and rituals you can cast. Additionally, there are magic items you can attempt to acquire that will prevent people from being able to scry upon you.
Right. Okay. Well, as of now, I don't really think I have. I don't really think I have access to any magical thing that will prevent or help people from doing.
Did you do like?
Look around the party, please.
What?
Look around the party, please.
Okay. So, Sirena's gonna. All of you see that when we entered the moving mountain, I guess we were walking, and Sirena suddenly stops. She comes to a sudden stop. You might be surprised with it. You might turn around your heads. And Sirena, like, you see in her face a face of concern. Like, she went super pale, and she's like almost like blue white. And she looks around at you guys. Now
everything all right? Everything all right?
Oh my god, I think I'm being followed. Like, I think I'm being actively fried upon. I just got this, like, feeling, this revelation that, and I remembered that there's this sort of magic that I know of called scrying, and I, oh my god, I'm so worried someone might come. You wouldn't, she asks to all three of them.
I'll just step forward without saying another word. He can cast, what the hell's it called?
On detection?
Yeah, I detect magic.
Detect magic or non-detection? Detect magic is...
Which one's the one?
Detect magic detects magic. Like, that's what it does. Mm-hmm.
To see if there's active magic on someone, but non-detection helps you hide from magic.
Yes.
Would any of you happen to have some sort of knowledge or something that could help me with this?
Yes. Eldris, how the hell do I do this? Oh, there it is. Okay. Brock, do I have advantage to do any... Oh, what the hell?
Nope. No, sorry, I rolled something. I'm terrible at it, so...
All right,
I have out of character thing. I didn't want to use it until I actually rolled her.
Oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me!
that's fine. You still passed the.
You have an amazing.
I moment. Did. Okay, cool. one, and I'm like, you gotta be fucking serious.
That's curious, but I know fucking nothing. This is.
All right. I will let
the halfling squadron, man.
Now I will let you cast the non-detection spell as a ritual.
Okay.
It costs 25 gold to cast the ritual.
Oh.
There is a cost. And because of the rules that we're using, it will last 1 week. It will last until your next long rest, which is 1 week.
Oh.
Okay.
Do I have to roll to cast it?
You don't have to. You're spending time to basically do the ritual. Don't worry about casting.
Got it.
Okay, so rolling back again, I say, would any of you happen to have some sort of something that you could help me with?
As I said, it's in your school as per your character sheet, so you can cast the non-detection as a ritual.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, I make mention that, like, lady, I can cast non-detect upon you to keep them from scrying upon whatever it is that they're scrying upon your body.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You haven't done that? Oh, that's wonderful.
It will take time.
Oh, how much time?
Whatever it takes.
I think it's an hour to cast rituals. Don't worry about it.
Ritual right. Basically, you have to chill out for an hour, and then it's going to be, boom, you're set.
Ten minutes.
10 minutes?
Is it 10 minutes or 10 minutes per level, then it's 30 minutes? Whatever.
It's 10 minutes.
Okay, there you go.
I'm just saying, so you stand still, I guess, so I cast it. That's pretty much it. All right, cool. Yep. Boom. Done.
Thank you.
Eldris flexes.
Now, are you going to infer it wears off in a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I very seriously appreciate it. If there is any cost associated with it, please let me know and I will pay you.
It was 25 gold.
Of course. Now, is this... Are you charging me this? Or is this, like, a requirement for your...
You offered!
What?
You offered, I mean...
No,
if there's any cost, 25 gold. Whoa, is this a cost?
The cost is actually 25 gold for the spell, but yes.
Yeah.
All right, of course. Here you go.
Thank you.
So I guess what he didn't mention is that he would, like, take out... small amounts of, like, dust or something and sprinkle them around. So there is an actual cost of 25 gold pieces.
I believe it's, like, diamond dust, because it happens.
It's diamond dust, yeah.
Yeah, it's the cost of materials.
Yes. Paul, you do not add 25 gold. You don't lose 25 gold.
Yes,
right. Loses 25 gold. So.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Now, I'm, of course, although I am very much appreciative of the gesture toward me, I still do think that I should take as many measures as possible against such touch magic, suspicious magic.
This measure will last you a week.
I need a makeover.
Oh, what? Well, I can help with that.
Girl, I was waiting this whole time.
You're in safe hands. You're in safe hands with Darius if you allow him access to change your appearance.
Okay. Darius, I need a makeover.
So hold on. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
You are a bard. A level, so I don't know if you picked out your spell list, but there's a level 1 bard spell called Disguise Self.
Disguise Self.
Is it? Wait, where? What?
Disguise Self would not work against Scry.
I don't have it. No, I don't.
Alright, let me double check. I don't know what your spell list was. Did you choose your spells?
Oh, no. Oh, it's weird that you have it. I don't. Okay.
We will discuss this outside of game. There are you have access to certain spell lists. We will discuss that. I don't remember if bards don't have a spell list. I don't know how bards work.
Bards have a disguise spell if they want it, but the problem is it wouldn't work because it's an illusion. It would only make the appearance of you different, but it wouldn't actually change your appearance. So it would not work.
I was actually also going to discuss that. So. There is a difference between magical disguise self and what people can do with what Darius can do with a kit for disguising someone. Because if you have true sight and you cast disguise self on yourself, you can see through that disguise. You will see what you actually look like, not what you disguise yourself as look like. But if you have true sight and Darius decides, I'm not going to cast a spell on myself, I am just going to put on makeup, a wig, funny glasses. Mm-hmm. You can't see through that with true sight. It actually is better for rogues to not use magic in those cases.
Huh. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think I would prefer to have an actual makeover, at least for now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
I might not have the fanciest and newest of clothes, but please, come have a look and see if there's anything that fits your fancy. We'll make a new
Have you tried to be a ginger, maybe?
I have some for some. I have had some employees who are not halflings. So I have some for some elven physiques, but I also have something for some of my friends who like to do the two halflings in a trench coat style of infiltration. So I do have many different tall clothes. They might just have it as interesting fits, as it were.
I'm an interesting individual. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so while these two people go through and do their makeover. So Yornin, you are escorted into the chief's tent, and you see Alcaster the Sentinel. He seems to have picked up a new axe. So I shared a link to that earlier. Yep. I will share it again.
It's a giant axe of fuck you dragons.
It pretty much is.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
I think Jonan will approach him, throw down the crate, step onto the crate, and then he doesn't speak giant, but he probably has picked up on whatever cute nickname they gave him.
I will say you will know enough of their language to communicate. You don't have to put it down as you're not fluent. If you're trying to listen into a conversation between two giants, you wouldn't get it. But if you're talking with the you can talk with them enough, and they can talk with you enough. It's sort of, you speak similar enough.
Yes, but he steps onto the crate and then kind of says, whatever cute nickname they gave to me, the tiny mountain is here, come embrace me, you big lug, or something. And then he's
the hill has arrived into... and the mountain embraces
And then it jumps into his arms when he approaches. And they have this whole very big hug as much as Jonan can.
Okay. Alcaster comes towards you, and he will say, "We went to your state after we saw the destruction, but we managed to recover this." And he will present to you your totem, which is your familiar sort of agreement totem that you have with the Moving Mountain Clan.
I do my very best not to drop it on my feet.
Yes. So as I stated to Robert previously, and I'll say it to you guys, so the Moving Mountain Clan realize the height difference between themselves and the Barony. So they went out of their way to make an basically make this sort of totem item that is at the Baron's size. So it's at his side. It is sort of like this ruling totem that says, okay, so there's this formal alliance between my clan and your clan, and so here this will symbolize our alliance. The problem is they didn't take into account weight. So you have this
extremely heavy, yep.
Tiny little scepter that's 25 pounds.
Yes, so I'll hold it for as long as I can before I like put it down. And
it's the ground with a thud.
Pretty much, yeah. And then I embrace him again. As like, I'm so sorry. I could not hold the enemy.
We took back our land. We took back the lands, and we wish we could have sent more warriors to your aid. But by the time we arrived, you were already gone.
I wish I would have been there in order to help you. But the truth is, we were overrun, and to my shame, I was taken. My people left on their own, and you were left on your own without my help.
Well, the tribe persists. It was a grueling journey, but the tribe persists. And you will know from their culture, the Moving Mountain Clan, their entire culture is about how the more grueling, the more trouble you get on your journey, the greater the reward. So they actually view that as a good thing. Like, having to fight the giants, or fight the dragons, is, in their eyes, a good thing, because they're going to get more of a reward because of that.
Yes. I am going back home. So I'm going
He'll say, rest for the night. You'll be provided food and aid, and we will send warriors with you to reclaim your home and clear it out of anything that you wish.
Thank you. I don't know how to repay you for this.
I don't know how he would put it. Basically, once you get back on your feet, we will be stronger together.
Yes, we will. This is what I want to do, and you tell me if this counteracts what you want to do. But I plan to take back my barony and then make the narrow march unable for them to move past and support. I will bleed whatever army tries to cross into what is now called the unclaimed lands.
You will have our support as long as you continue to honor our agreement.
Always.
So he will escort you to your basically your tent for the night. So there is a very nice tent that's sort of laid out. In the center of the tent, they will be presenting you with sort of gifts from the tribe. I will send that to you right now.
Oh, Jesus.
So you have the Totem of the Ancients. They're also presenting you to you with your banner.
Some point. Oh, I was going to ask for that. Thank you very much. At some point, you need to put those into my inventory. But
yeah, I'll add it to the thing. I'll discuss that with you in a moment. Where is the banner? Banner. The movie there. There you go. You want us to make?
Oh hell yeah!
Okay. I'm letting the rest of you, as he's meeting with the chief, I'm letting the rest of you make this sort of investigational.
I rolled a halfling one, so that sounds great.
That's just...
It's one of my good stuff.
Oh, shit. Velvet, you rolled a 4. You didn't get the investigation roll. You're more concerned about your makeup-er. I was letting the group roll investigation rolls just to sort of figure out anything that's going on around town as the Baron was meeting with the chief. And so I rolled your investigation roll. You rolled a 4, so you didn't get it.
Damn.
Saved them.
But do we have like a passive investigation?
I can do investigation for you, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
All right. Where the hell did I get some character sheet? Here it is. Every time I look down, it goes away. Okay, investigate. Oh boy, Robert, I really don't know if I can do much, but here we go, bud. Regular ass investigation.
No. Yeah.
Alrighty.
You're a wizard. You're extremely intelligent. Of course you do.
Fuck, that scared me. Yeah, but I've also been rolling like shit for the since I came in here. But,
actually,
yeah.
No, you have been rolling okay.
Okay. All right.
You find a group of axe breakers who apparently are in camp. So I'll let you deal with that in a moment.
Fun times. Axe breaker women?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Okay. Oh, by the way, I really like these handouts.
I'm glad.
Yes.
You'll be getting more of them.
Yeah, no, I like... Is there a place that you... Oh, yeah, of course. You have them all in the Guildhall book.
On the website. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
It can't be more public.
Hey, if anybody listening to this wants to check out what the hell we're looking at, you should go to the-guildhall.net/guildhallbook, where Prot's got everything all taken care of. Check us out at the-guildhall.net. Want to be a character on the Guildhall podcast? Go ahead and join us on our Discord.
If you all join the play-by-post, you will be a character in the story.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
All right. Okay, so I...
Love.
No problem. That's my job, by the way, Velvet. I haven't done it in like 3 years, but hey, what the fuck?
I love that.
Okay. So, additionally, as the rest of the party sort of goes around the town, I am posting 3 links, which is to the trade tent. So this will be where Darius sort of heads next, as you are going to basically speak with the head of the... Whatchamacallit? Head of the trade for the... What?
Arrangement?
Mountain Breaker Clan. Moving Mountain Clan. Sorry, not Mountain Breaker. Axe Breaker and Moving Mountain.
Axe Breaker and Moving Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
So, excuse me. So, Axe Breakers and Moving Mountain Clan, how is it that they are, like, related?
They are not related. They are, the only reason why they're sort of allied is because of the barony.
Yes. They knew each other through me, yes.
Hmm? Oh, okay, cool. Boy, so... How have they, like, maintained this, connection since Robert's been in prison or been captured?
Before the barony was sort of evacuated off of their area, the Moving Mountain Clan and basically the Moving Mountain Clan and the Axebreaker Clan basically pledged aid to them. They supported the Baron sort of escape. The Axebreaker Clan actually sort of is the basic group that sort of maintained their trade supply lines while the war was going on. And the Moving Mountain Clan was basically further up north, and you were actually cut off from them for a while.
Mm,
but then once the clan sort of came back down after the winter, that's then sort of everything opened up. So that's sort of... Yeah,
and they've kind of held on to that oath this whole time.
Well, the Goliaths are going to hold on to that oath. The Axebreaker don't really have like a formal oath like the. All right, so let's go back. The Moving Mountain Clan has a formal oath where it's sort of they're pledging support for each other because of something in the ancient history of the Baron. There was sort of like this heroic period where the Baron came to the rescue of the Moving Mountain Clan and they formed sort of this relationship, like allied ship since then. Okay. On the flip side, the Axebreakers have been more of a whatchamacallit arrangement? More of a financial arrangement. Yeah, mercenary arrangement. But the main reason why you have a good relationship with the Axebreakers is because you accepted a group of Axebreaker warriors and you've been good with them. Like you have... You've been positive with those people, so you sort of maintain that relationship through them.
So the Axebreakers as a whole, if they are essentially as a mercenary group, is there kind of the expectation of, hey, so when are we getting paid?
It's more that they profit from every business venture we do through their lands, which is quite a lot because they are doing protectionism. So I'm assuming.
Okay, so business as usual.
Business as usual for them is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. That's what I was wondering.
I have to abstract sort of money situations. So there's going to be a certain amount of you're doing this stuff in the background as sort of upkeep. So you guys are maintaining your desert stronghold, and you're maintaining a trade route between the Axe Breakers and sort of your desert estate. So you have this in the background, and that is basically what upkeep costs you have that is going towards the Axe Breaker clan, and it's going towards going towards your desert. So you don't have to pay anything, but this is sort of expected. Say that is just keeping itself upkeep. Now,
but if those two things are threatened,
if the Axe Breakers are attacked, then you guys will have to respond because it is now going to negatively affect your barrier.
Yeah. So that not only that, but that is the only thing keeping our allies essentially paid.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying.
Yes.
Right. But they're not. Yeah. They're not mercenary. They're more mercenary focused. They're more warrior focused. But they're not like someone else is not going to pay them out from underneath you. That's sort of what I'm trying to get at. It's not like
what I'm saying is they owe their loyalty to us on account of giving them something.
Long-standing friends, and also it's they're making a lot from that friendship.
Right. Okay.
It absolutely does not benefit them to backstab us in any way.
Gotcha.
Or the amount necessary for them to backstab us would be staggering.
But yeah, that's what I'm just more wondering about, like what are the immediate threats to this tenuous, or is our relationships tenuous?
Dragonborn army coming down upon them because they're helping us, and
they're fighting a battle on almost two fronts. It seems.
Yeah.
Because there's Dragonborn army, and then there's also, I suppose, the other Rodanian.
I don't know that they're necessarily heading in that region at all.
They're not dealing with the other Rodanians. They're really only dealing with the dragons.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Unless they want to take new territory.
Okay, that's a new problem then. That's not a current problem, at least. Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. That answers my questions in terms of... Yeah.
Okay. All right. So going back to Darius. So, Darius, you're currently meeting Graldon Stonehands. Now, you'll recognize Graldon as sort of an elderly member of the Goliaths. So the older Goliaths get, the more rock they become, the more like rocky attributes. So like, if you look at the picture that I shared with you, you'll recognize that he has sort of the... whatchamacallit, he starts to get the crystalline features sort of coming off of his body. That is something that they get as they age. And there sort of is, the Goliaths themselves sort of have less of a tradition of burying their dead, and they basically bury them under stone. They like set up a small stone grave for them, and they put place stones on top of it. That's sort of how they sort of deal with their dead. And it's just sort of the Goliaths always think they return to the stone because they're born of the stone.
Mm-hmm.
So. Background and lore. But go on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brawlgen greets you.
Mm-hmm. Greetings, young sir.
Welcome back.
How are you doing? It's been a while.
It's been ages. For you, it hasn't. For him, it has.
Indeed. I hope everything's treating you well there.
Well, since the dragons withdrew their armies, the trade has been getting better. We look forward to the salt you'll be providing.
Oh, indeed. They should be unloading it right now, along with other stuff. But yes, any interesting things in the region? Not with the peace treaty and all.
The local clans have kept their distance. We have maintained good relations with all of our local clans. We hope that you can open up more trade with your cousins. We're in need of our metals, our metal import once again. We don't have metal, so you need to get it for us.
Right, Right. We hopefully we can get that back online. That would be ideal for all of us.
Yes. And so he will officially say that if you can ship that they're looking for wood shipments and they're looking for metal. That those are like the wood, metal, and salt. Those are like the three main things that they want. And luckily, you actually can have a salt dynasty because you have access to the desert.
Yeah, our recent acquiring of salt has been beneficial. For sure. And hopefully we can get our wood business back online as well. Mm-hmm. Metal. Yeah, hopefully we can get all of that sorted and get the trade back up for you guys. It's been a bit of a mess, but everything seems to be getting back on track.
I hope so, because trade was always good when you guys were in your barony.
Indeed.
He will then take you specifically over to the food tent.
Ah, yes, of course. Please, let me see what interesting culinary things to feed up while I've been gone.
That's right, way too intricate. God damn it.
All right, so you will see they have their caribou steaks. They have their caribou steaks sort of braised. They have their stew that is up there. They have their fish that they have caught that is currently being roasted to be smoked later, which is why they're in desperate need of more salt. Because when you deal with the barbarians who are wandering and stuff, salted meat is going to be a large part of their diet.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Waiting for you to interact.
Yeah, sorry, yes. This is some lovely stuff you have here, but yes, salt will definitely be of a benefit for you. Is there anything else of dire need for you guys? Any threats on the horizon?
So far the roads have been cleared, but we have been hearing more rumors of banditry from the Axe Breakers. We'll send word for you if we hear anything specific, but it's just the roads are starting to get more and more dangerous as people seem to be vying for control.
That is worrisome indeed. Hopefully that will not be a problem for long. But it's good that you are in good contract. You're standing in good contract with the Axe Breakers. They are some nice people. We've had good dealings with them as well.
They've always maintained good relations with us, and they've always been loyal.
Indeed. Is there anything? You can help us with here. We have a lady who might be in need of some new clothing to help her handle the harsh conditions.
He will take you over to the trade tent. There's a clothing inventory that I have.
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at what you have here. Maybe something that could fit her and be more appropriate, as it were. It would be ideal.
We could literally get lost for this for an hour to just pick up new clothing.
I know.
Maybe not. Maybe do that after the game.
That's fine.
give you a list.
Let's go with you to interact with this game, but yes, indeed.
No, it's there. It's already incredibly intricate. Yes. I love it.
Yes, I'm not sure what we're... What interaction you wanted from me here?
Well, we're basically at 45 minutes, so if there's anything else for the session before we move on to the last session, where you guys will be running back to your estate.
Yeah.
So I'm just giving you guys a chance to speak with any of the members that I have put out there.
I mean, if someone tells me about the Axe Breakers in town, then I think I'm going to just stride over and say hello.
Okay.
Darius and I are still doing my makeover, right?
Sort of. Yeah, we're in the trade tents looking at what pelts and stuff they have here for potential extra stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
You can basically outfit yourself in whichever fashion you want.
And introducing you to the locals.
I'm about to say you can look at the hairstyle and stuff of the Axe Breaker women to sort of get an idea about sort of how they decorate themselves if you want a sort of a change like that.
How the Goliath styled themselves?
No, I'm talking about the Axe Breaker one.
The Axe Breakers are a separate tribe.
Axe Breakers are mostly human.
Yeah.
The what?
So if you look in the Foundry. There should be a link
in Discord. There's a Foundry.
And the Foundry link in Discord. Let me. I'll resend the link so that you have it.
There's a group.
Things have been moving quickly. It's okay if you don't keep up.
There's been a side story that's been happening there.
Icebreaker. I thought it was some sort of weapon.
No, that's a prize.
The name of the clan is the Icebreakers.
Okay. I was like, I'm not sure.
Hopefully that helps you make sense of what we've been talking about a bit.
Wait, why did you have an article of Icebreaker women specifically ready? What?
Because I wanted to introduce the flavor that the Icebreakers had a close alliance. And so I came up with the idea that several members of the Icebreaker clan who are currently pregnant decided to stay away from the more hostile lands and go to an area that was basically safer while they were pregnant. And so three women from the Icebreaker clan have come up north to where the Goliaths are and have been staying with the Goliaths during their pregnancy, basically.
Oh, I see.
And I am putting it out there in case people wanted to interact with them.
Oh, I mean, I would.
Yes.
Okay, can we go and talk to them? Like, there's
absolutely 100%. Yeah, let's go.
Let's go and do that then.
Okay. I mean, if you want to talk to them alone, you can. But I was going to head there anyway, so let's do it together, maybe.
So
almost certainly, as part of the disguise thing, I will be bringing you around to every social interaction that is possible to be had, so you can learn from the locals.
Yes. By the way, Darius, we need a good place to stash away this very large banner in some food court to be raised at a later point when we are actually doing a thing.
Also, we should probably be taking the time when if you want to take over and escort the lady around, maybe introduce her to some of the locals.
Yeah.
You can find her.
Absolutely. Well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So to speak specifically about what Syriana asked before. Mm-hmm. Young members of the clan will be looking to prove themselves.
Yep.
If you want, you could go up to, you could speak with members of the Goliaths, and you could see if any of them are willing to sort of pledge yourself as sort of a personal guard.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to?
Look around then, yes.
Yep. Okay. I mean, I would gladly make introductions and hint at that the lady currently finds herself without a protector, which is needed in these times of strife.
All right. I didn't foresee this as a possibility. So
I can't cast myself as a protector. I have shit to do. I can't always be at her side.
Between sessions, I will come up with the NPC person who will be your bodyguard, basically.
Okay.
It will most likely be a Goliath, and we'll figure it out.
But do we do the interaction?
I want to, but I can't think of anything right now, and I want to sort of move along a little bit.
Okay.
A conversation will be had, but it will be maybe next session.
Maybe next session when he has an idea.
Or next session, since they're sending warriors with you, it could happen next session, since you're going to be at the estate, and I'll actually have the information in the background about who this person is, so it's not in my head right now, so.
There might be too many potentials that you want to see them in the field of it.
You have your line of suitors and you can pick which one.
They're not going to have a grand melee for you. Being your protector. That seems a bit too much out there.
Yes.
But it will bring honor to their clan.
Yeah, but I don't want to get people get hurt prior before we go to the actual war.
Wait, why would anyone get hurt? What?
It's a grand melee among barbarian tribesmen.
I'm sure they would be fine with it.
And we have covered a lot, and so we will be right back with the last part of this episode.
Okay.
Brought tiny thing. I realized.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.